Okay, Parashat Chukat Balak, or Balak in Eretz Israel, but it works out either way, because I'm going to look at the Haftorah, which is Haftorah for Balak. And the Haftorah is from Micha, and it mentions Balak and Bilam, so that's why it's connected to the Parsha. And this is the end of the Haftorah. Micha is telling the people, Ki Eliticha Me'eretz Yisrael, God speaking, when I took you out of Egypt, Beit Avadim, Petiticha, and I saved you from the house of slavery, Veshlach lefanecha et Moshe, Aaron, u'Miriam. And I sent Moshe, I sent Aaron, and I sent Miriam. Ami, all my people, Zacharnam, right, you need to remember, Ma ya'atz Balak melech Moav, what was the advice that Balak, the king of Moab, sought? Uma'ana oto Bil'am ben Beor. And what did Bilam answer him? What did Bilam say? Mina Shittim ad Gilgal, from Shittim to Gilgal. We'll have to see what those places are. Leman dat tzidkot Hashem. You need to remember, Ami Zachor, remember these things so that you should remember the justice of God, tzedakah of God. Ma'akadem, and you asked. Ma'akadem Hashem, how can I come before God? Akof lelakai marom. How can I literally push the hands of my God up in heaven? Akadumunu ba'olot. Should I come before him with offerings, ba'agalim, b'nei shana, with 1-year-old calves? Yotzeh Hashem ba'alfei elim. Is God going to want, he's got to be happy with thousands of rams, ba'ravot nachal Hashem, and with 10,000 rivers of oil. At 10 Bikurei Pishi, should I send as the payment for my sin, to expiate my sin? I gotta see how he translates that in a second. Yeah. Here we go. Attain b'charei pishi, should I give my firstborn, literally, for my sin? Pribitni chatat nafshi, can I offer my children? Because of my chet. That's the question you're asking. How do I approach God? Higid lecha adam matov. God is telling you, oh man, this is what's good. Uma Hashem d'resh mecha. What does God ask of you? Ki im, only thing God asks, lasot mishpat, to do justice, avat chesed, love, kindness, and walk with tzniah, walk, usually translated as walk humbly with God. And that is the origin of the concept of tzniut.
Oh.
Okay, we'll see. It's where that word appears twice in all of Tanakh, never in the Torah. That's always the source that's quoted. And I'm going to start by asking, what's Miriam doing here? At Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. She never gets mentioned as one of the leaders of the people. Right? Last week's Haftorah, Shmuel explicitly says, Shmuel is telling the people, Moshe, right? Reminding the people when Shmuel is telling them you want a God, or you want a king, God created you a Moshe, gave you an Aaron, Hashem, those are the ones that took you out. Miriam's just not there. Here we got Miriam. So, if I were a cynical joker, hypothetically speaking, I would say that since he's talking about tzniut, obviously he's got to watch the women, because tzniut is all about how we clothe the women and don't show pictures of them, right? So, we have no pictures of Miriam, the whole Torah. You notice that? Obviously, we don't have to put pictures of women in our publications.
Don't get me, Danny. I have cousins in Israel. One of my cousins is married to a beautiful person, a granddaughter of the Chernobyl Rebbe. And we're talking about, I don't know how many generations. So the mom, who's the daughter of the Chernobyl Rebbe, she brought this book that goes through their whole family tree of all these rabbis, from all the generations. And you can look through this book They mention every, they show every son and grandson and great grandson and Revi. There's not one picture of a woman, like none. They do say who they're married to, but that's it. That's as far as it goes.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that's, you know.
I realize that, and I have made comments about that, but that's not what Tzniut and Tanakh is. Okay, so it doesn't say that here. We're not talking about that. Okay, that's near again. That root appears twice in Tanakh. Once here at Tznei Lechet Imelkecha, and then also Mishle, and says Vazadon V'Yavo Kalon. If you act brazenly, then shame will follow. That Tznuim, but with those who are Tznua Chachma, that is wisdom. That's Mishle. Okay, and there clearly means humility, right? Walk humbly with God, being willing to listen to others. Yes, the Malbin translates that, Bazadon, Azad, someone who's brazen. Someone who disagrees with words of chachma, wisdom, valamet, with truth. They'd be asking all sorts of, keeps complaining and keeps causing problems. And intentionally tries to transgress them, b'shat b'nefesh, that's a kofikesko, meaning with contempt in his soul. That's what Zad is. The opposite of Tznea, that's the opposite of being Tznua.
What is Sha'at?
Sha'at is usually translated as contempt. Let's see how he does here. Here we go. Utter scorn is the way JPS translates it.
Mm-hmm.
Scorn. The sinning. That's the opposite. Tzanua, which is a Masya Panav, who holds back. That's what it means to be Tzanua, who's not causing trouble, not arguing with the voice in Chachma. Masya Panav, Me'alot, Ma'alot, he doesn't go up, literally to go up on stage. Yadua, Me'ach Erko, and he realizes what his value is, what is the value. And that's like Moshe was a Nav, was by Yester Moshe Panav, Moshe hid his face. That's what Tzanua is. Translated as humble. And this means tznuim tavo chachma, tzniut comes with wisdom. Ki lo yikavu darchei chachma, because the wisdom will only stick. Rak b'leva ma'amin, will only stick with someone who believes, makabo v'shomei al rabotav, who listens to others, listens to the rabbanim, v'yazid l'chalekohem, and isn't brazenly disagreeing. Agashevo zadon by makalon. You try and be brazen, then you end up being ashamed. We have a cover, and you will lose that honor. Because what you're doing by being brazen out there is worth less. And the opposite of the ways of wisdom.
Does tzanua literally mean covered, hidden, like haster, panim? Tzanua.
No. Okay. No. He's saying that being tzanua meaning is someone who is master panav in a metaphoric sense. It means the way it's usually translated as anav. It doesn't literally
mean word, like if you had to translate tzanua, the only word we have is modest. I mean, humble,
yeah,
modest.
So that's what I say. So if you look at the way you're translating tzatznei lechet, walk modestly with your God.
Yeah.
Okay, that's JPS. Tzanuim, JPS translate unassuming.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was going to say that they have, you know, in modern Hebrew, they say Zman Sena or something. It's a time of shortages, you know.
Oh, is that the word?
Yeah, like the one, like when we first came to Israel, like, you know, when Israel was.
Oh, right. Is that the word? It's the same word, Sena?
I thought it was.
Let's see if we translate Sena. Austerity. Yep, there he goes.
Yeah, that's it.
Austerity. Okay, so interesting. So that's got to be connected,
Yeah.
right? Being austere.
Pashtut, simplicity, unassuming. Yeah, they're connected.
Unassuming. Okay, I'll go with that. That's right.
Very interesting analogy.
Okay, so that,
Ben.
that I like that. So
that's going to make it to Shabbos morning.
That tenua doesn't mean as with modesty. It's modesty per se in the sense of being unassuming. Okay, not making a big deal about yourself. Right, modesty is not thinking less of yourself; it's thinking of yourself less. We know that quote.
No.
Actually, I am going to give me a second here. And I just want to edit that here.
You know that phrase, Danny, right? The Shanot Tzena, the year, it's a period of time in Israel when there was no food.
Uh-huh. Okay, that makes sense. That's austerity, literally.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what I was thinking about.
Okay,
yeah.
So clearly that goes with that. So here,
yeah.
The tenua is not that you don't have a choice, you don't own anything, but there's no reason to be showing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to Micha's Machshav. Right, this is Micha. He says that you remember what happened with Balak and Bilam, Minashitim ad haGilgal, Leman da Tzidkat Hashem. What were Shittim and Gilgal? The name of places. Shittim appears at the end of our parsha. It was the last sin, last plague of Bnei Israel. Source 5, Vayishev et Yisrael b'Shittim. After the story of Balak and Bilam, Yisrael settled in Shittim. And the people started, what's a good translation of these notes? Engaging in prostitution with the daughters of Moab. And then they called them to their idols. And they ate sacrifices. They bowed down to their idols. This was a bad thing. 24,000 died. End of this week's part.
This is the whole thing with Pinchas then.
Right. When Pinchas kills, that's the end of that. That is the end of the parsha there. But the main point here is that that was Shittim. Shittim was the last camp before they entered the land. Look at the list in Maaseh, the long list of all the camps they had. By Yisumei Har Abarim, that they go from the mountains of Abarim by Chnu Bavav Yudein Rechal, and they camped in the four and the wilderness of Moab on the Jordan outside of Jericho, on the east side of the banks. They camp all along the Jordan, from Beit Yeshimot on Eval Hashittim until the plains of Shittim, on the plains of Moab. So Eval Hashittim, that's where they camped before they crossed. And Yeshua, that's exactly what they did. So they cross from Shittim, Ayarden, Hubachol Bnei Israel. He crosses by Lonersham, Temri Avoru, and they camp right by the river. And then they go into the land, and the first place they make camp is Gilgal. Again, in Yeshua, Ba'am Alumini Arden, Besor Lachorosh Yishon, and the people let cross the Jordan, the 10th of Nisan, Bechanu B'Gilgal. Same Mizrach Yericho. And they camp in Gilgal, just east of Yericho. So Shittim out of Gilgal means from their last camp on the east side of the Jordan to their first camp inside Eretz Israel on the west side. So the Minashitim Gilgal, Leman dat Tzidkot Hashem, is remember Hashem Tzedakah. He allowed you to go from Shittim to Gilgal. He forgave the sin of Baal Peor, let you enter Eretz Israel despite what had happened there. You're going to go worshiping the gods of Moab, but Hashem said, oh, it's okay, you can move on. So what's Micha saying? So Micha saying, you need to remember this. Who's Micha? Everyone knows their Tanakh. Micha is one of the Nevi'im of the Golden Age of Nevuah.
He's one of the Nevi'im of what?
The Golden Age of Nevuah. Okay, this was, and you look at a whole bunch of Nevi'im here. We're going to quote Yeshaya was in the time. Here's Chazon Yeshaya ben Amoz, Asher Chazal Yudav Shalem, Bimei Uziyah, Yotam Achaz Yechizkiyah Malcha Yehuda. Remember those names? That was the time of Uziyah, Yotam Achaz, and Chizkiyah. Hoshea was Bimei Uziyah, Yotam Achaz Yechizkiyah Malcha Yehuda, Bimei Yerubim ben Yoash Malcha Yisrael. So same king, but Yehoshua was also in the kingdom of Israel. Same kings, Yotam Achaz Chizkiyah, Amos similarly, Yirei Amos, Shechazal Yisrael, Bimei Uziyah Melech Yehuda, Bimei Yerubim ben Yoash Melech Yisrael. And Micha is here, Devar Hashem Asher Micha, Mershati Bimei Yotam Achaz Yechizkiyah Melech Yehuda, Shechazal Al Shomron Yushalayim. Micha is a Nevuah both in Shomron, the Northern Kingdom, and the Southern Kingdom. And Seder Olam summarizes it with a Sam up there. Says Malamit Shakul Nitabeb Perak Achad, that all of them were in the same time, the kings of Yotam, Achaz, Chizkiyah, in Yehuda. And if you look at in Sefer Malachim, you'll see that Yonah ben Amittai from Sefer Yonah was also in the time of Yerubim ben Yoash as the king of Israel. So when was that time? We have all these Nevi'im all perhaps at the same time. It starts with Yerubim ben Yoash, who's the king of Israel, reigns for 41 years, which is a really long time, and saw the greatest extent of Israelite power. If you look inside, he basically conquers all the way up into Aram, all the way to Damascus. He goes down. He pretty much is united with the southern kingdom. We nearly have a united kingdom, but he does bad, and the whole period ends with the rise of Assyria. Kingdom of Northern Kingdom of Israel is conquered. Shomron is conquered. That's Amos's Nevuah. It's all about how Shomron, you're doomed if you don't get your act together. So they exile him down to Yehuda, and then the near annihilation of Yehuda. Like Assyria basically just marches through Yehuda after it conquers Israel. And as a miracle for Chizkiyah, where they're saved, and so the kingdom lasts for another generation or so, actually for another 80 years, I don't remember how long, before they're finally conquered by Babylon. So all these Nevi'im are saying, things were good, things are going to get worse. Right?
We need a Navi now.
I'm sorry?
We need a Navi now.
Yes. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where things are going. But there are things that needed to choose, right? You need to get back to Hashem, because otherwise, Shomron is going to fall, Yerushalayim is going to fall. That's what this message is. So that's what Micha's message is. He's reminding them what happened on the cusp of their entry into the land. Okay? That you had been in this position.
That.
So he said,
that's a good word.
So this is where the Malbim looks at these psukim. So Charna Mayatz Balak Melech Moav. Remember what Balak had sought advice. Sheratzah Shebilam Yikadrege Yisrael Vikala. Balak wanted Bilam to come and curse Israel. Uma ana oto Bilam. Remember what Bilam told him. That he says, sorry. Well, they told them that Bilam told him, he told Ben Hashem Lavrech Yisrael, that no, I'm going to bless Israel. That's what Hashem wants. Hashgacha Tevukag Bamutavak. God sees them and wants to do only good. That's Hashem's Hashgacha Prati is protecting them. So Bilam's advice to Balak. That was Bilam's plan. Get them to worship the gods of Moab, and then Hashem will wipe them out. I can't just make some kind of curse up. They'll lose Hashem's providence, and then they'll be destroyed. That was the end of the parsha. Bilam gives them that advice, which is why when they fight back, they kill Bilam for that. That was his etzah. And so that then from Sheet, that was what happened at Sheetim. And so remember, Bicha saying, remember what happened from Sheetim? Ki lo haya ben Sheetim, that there was only a little bit of time between this incident of Sheetim, Shachatu Sham Yisrael uben Gilgal, where the place where Bnei Yisrael did this sin, and they would have been wiped out, and Gilgal, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, Rachmat Derech, Me'era Hayadin, and Mavar Hayadin, just a little bit of ways, just crossing the Jordan. Bizkira Gilgal, Kihi Tchilat Eretz Yisrael. And it mentions Gilgal because that is the entry point, that's the beginning of Eretz Yisrael, they entered. So you should remember that when you were so close entering Eretz Yisrael, you did this terrible sin, that you all were liable to die. And Hashem had mercy on you. And you came to that. And I helped you in all of this I did. And remember all I did. You should remember what I God did for you. That's Laman Dat Simchat Hashem. So Micha is telling them now, you're in a similar situation. You've sinned grievously. You've got this Avodah Zarah. Kingdom of Israel has already been destroyed. Micha is looking at Yehuda right now. The Assyrians are marching on in Yerushalayim. And you're asking, right? The question that you're asking is, B'mah Akedam Hashem, how can I appease God? What do I do now? I'm going to offer 1,000 more sacrifices. Just keep you offering more sacrifices and praying to God, and now offer rivers of libations. And the answer is no. That's not what God's looking for. God's not looking for thousands of sacrifices. It's asot mishpat v'avat chesed v'tznei lechem elokecha. Do justice, chesed, and walk humbly.
So that's what the word akdamot is from. I never thought of that, right?
Which
Akdamot. When do we say akdamot? On
Akdamut?
Shavuos?
Yeah, in
No,
Shavuot. The long
I
poem in
didn't
Aramaic.
realize that that word is from to approach God, like
Okay, yes.
akdamot.
Well, it's Akdamut just as introduction. Akdamut,
Oh,
the
an
poem is
introduction.
Akdamut
Right.
Mila. As an
I
introduction to my words, it's an Akdamut, it's an introduction to giving the Torah.
Ah.
That's the Akdamut poem. This is the damn. There he is over here. So, what is Hatznei Lechet Im Elokecha? That's the bottom line. What does it mean? What does tzniut mean in this sense? This is a Malbin. Nothing to do with clothes, nothing to do with sleeve lengths. Ma shata tzarich lelechet Im Elokecha. The answer is when you have to go with God, right? Your Lechet Elokecha is important. Yes, you have to do Mishpat and Avat Chesed. That's the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. There is an aspect of a Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And he says, Lolechem Mokecha is just like Noach et Elokim, Hitalech Noach, to go with God. Shezeh Shor Shemitzvot Sheben Adam Lamakom. That's what it means. Those are the mitzvot to do Ben Adam Lamakom. When you're doing the mitzvot, Sheyelech Im Elokim. That's what it means to go with God. Lolechem Drachav, to go in his ways, Fitigadesh, Betushato, be holy. Mashagat Tu, be Tem Kershim, Kikadosh Ani, that you should be holy because I am right. You need to go in God's ways. Zeyebe Hetzner said there. This you need to do quietly. Don't make a big deal about how religious you are. That's what the Malbim says. That's now lechet imelokecha. That your lechet imelokecha needs to be betzina, needs to be modest. Kihim devarim shebeincha ben konecha. Those are between you and God. Vezet tovat tzniut. That's what, because tzniut is good for that. Bal yazid, not to be brazen, not to be arrogant and obnoxious. Bo and not to be very proud in how much you understand about theology, and don't be so smart about your mitzvot. Don't act so smart. That you have to walk modestly. It means your avodat Hashem needs to be b'tzina. Don't be obnoxious in your religiousness. What's Bafar Hesse, what's public, is the Asot Mishpat about Chesed. And that's been your mistake. You think, okay, you do more religious, you do more sacrifices, that's going to save you. Your Bein HaMakom is not going to save you.
Mm-hmm.
The same error that led to the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh back in the beginning of Shmuel, where Eli talks to his sons have been abusing everyone coming to the Mishkan, and he tells them, what are you doing these terrible things? That I'm listening. That all these bad things I hear about you, he's telling his sons, who are the Kohanim, may call Ama'ela, I'm hearing from all the people. Albany, don't do that. That what I'm hearing is not good. You're angering God. Because if you sit one person sins to another person, then Adam Lachavero, because then you can pray to God and it'll be okay. But if you sin against God, each meet palolo. Then no one, who are you gonna pray to? That's Eli's attitude. I mean, it's okay to sin against other people because you can always daven to Hashem for forgiveness. But sin against God, who are you gonna daven to? But they didn't listen, because they were gonna be destroyed. Again, this attitude leads to the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh. And it's going to lead to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash as well. That's Yirmiyahu telling that to the people. Al tiftuchu lachem et divrei hasheker. Don't believe in all the lies, the untruth. That Leimor is saying, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. We have the Beit HaMikdash. We have the Temple of God. Temple of God. It's not going to destroy it. Temple of God. We're safe. If you want to do better, teitivu darcheichem, v'malechem, act better, make your ways better. Imasu, you want to do something, tasu mishpat, ben ish ben rehu. That's what you need to do. You want to save the Beit HaMikdash, that's what you need to do. So basically, tznei lechem Hashem means that what Hashem has to be with tzniut, not showing off to others. Showing off in your frumkeit is called yuhara. You've heard that term before?
A what?
Yuhara.
I never heard that.
Okay, she's a character in Star Trek.
Yes.
Ooh, that's uhura, which means freedom in Swahili. That's a different word than arrogance.
Is that what kind of word is that? Aramaic or what?
It's Aramaic, yeah. Aramaic, Gemara uses it a lot. This is Yamshel Shomas, the Marshal. Gemara Shemara Asmo Yerushamayim. That you're showing off that you fear God. Anything that's showing off there, Hugava Yateira, this is extreme arrogance there. And the Gemara example of that was people make a big deal about of not working on Tisha B'Av, right? I can treat Tisha B'Av as I'm going to be so from on Tisha B'Av, I'm not going to do any malacha. Like, no, you're making that up. It's not a thing.
Hmm.
And for all, and today, well, chumras, you have to be appropriate to you. If people are going to look at you funny, it's not appropriate. And this is from.
What's the Hebrew word for arrogant? What's the biblical word? Is there?
Gaiva?
Uh-huh.
Mishle uses the term Zadon here.
Okay. Well,
Gaava,
no?
Gaava. Yeah, Gaava has a positive side of pride as well.
Yeah.
So this is a summary of Yuhara from the dafyomi.com. It's a useful site. You have to be careful of Yuhara. You have to watch your behavior. Tivlot lo l'ra'achas v'chalila, that you shouldn't stand out for bad. God forbid, af gam lo l'tavah. You not to be too good. Don't stand out in how wonderful you are. That's just showing. Im kulam na'agim minhag mesuyam. If everyone acts a certain way, there's a given minhag. Alo l'adam l'nag acher. Don't do different things. Even if you decide that the other way, what you're doing is worth more, it's better. Then we teach our children this as well. Your good deeds should be done, but sina. That's how tznei lechem. Lo b'fra hesed. Not so. Don't show up. That's what tznius is.
You know, it's interesting though, Danny,
Mm-hmm.
because it says you don't want to be bole. You don't want to stand out.
Right.
But, most people want to feel, special. They want to fit in and they also want to feel special. So it's sort of a.
Okay, so there's a dialectic. There's a question of how you're going to do that.
Yeah.
But you're feeling, but specifically, if you're feeling special, is
Yeah.
by having other people admire how from you are, that's a problem.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like in general, not necessarily with your from kite, but there's this human need, I think, to feel special.
Yes. But
And
that's
so, but
definitely that's that is
we're all
definitely a
supposed to.
Yitzhahara though.
Everybody's supposed to have something special that they're contributing.
But the question is, are you doing it in order to get other people to admire you? Okay. I mean
That's the question.
that's a little balance there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does that do with Miriam? That's where we started from.
Ah.
Okay, and I think the answer is, but we don't hear from her because she is a leader of Bnei Israel who is Hatzniah Lechem. Right, we know who she is. But Tichach Miriam HaNeviya. She's a Neviya. Right,
Yeah.
Aharon HaTokbi Adash, she's one who leads Az Yashir for the women. We have no re record of her Nebuah at all. Whatever she did, it was there. We don't know about it. Polar opposite of Bilam. Bilam, in his Nebuah, he is all, I am great. Listen to me, I am the greatest Navi ever. You got to listen to me, I know everything. He started his Nebuah, he said, Bilam ben Beor. These are the words of Bilam, son of Beor. These are the words of the man with the open eyes. These are the words of the one who hears the words of God. Who sees a vision of God, no fail, who falls out with his eyes open. I am the Navi. You never see any other Navi start with that. It's Nu'um Hashem. So let's say it's the Lord, not Nu'um Bilam ben Beor. So that's you're contrasting Bilam with Miriam here as the Nebuah. And this week's Parsha tells us it's new, but this is actually for you. It's last week's Parsha because it's Parsha Chukat is when Miriam dies. And people had no idea what she meant to them until she was gone. That's the idea of Be'er Miriam. We never heard of a Be'er.
That's a painting I have in my living room.
You have the Be'er
Hooray.
Miriam? That's where it went.
Jana Schaffner painted a picture on different Midrashim. And she did one on Chukat. And it shows the red heifer on the top, which is like an internal law or something. And on the bottom, it's Miriam sitting at the well. And basically, the whole idea is that the water dried up after Miriam died.
Right. So that's where we look
And
at those
then,
psukim.
and basically, she was like, she basically was, I forget what she was doing, kapara for the Jewish people. And when she died, they needed something else. So that's why they had the law of the red heifer. That's a midrash that.
Yeah, so this is that. So that's basically Gemara in Tanis over here. Of Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shlosh Parnasim Tovim Amdu Yisrael. There were three leaders of Bnei Yisrael at this time. Elohim, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. What you got
Oh,
there?
that's
You
my
had, oh, there it is.
there it is.
Okay, a red heifer and a red cow and that Miriam in the water. But nobody knows that. That's the point of Tzniut, right? There were three, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. Everyone knows there are three Parnasim. And Shlosh Matanot Tavot Nitnu LaYadam, and they had three gifts in the wilderness given by them, and it was Be'er Va'Nanuman. They had water, they had the clouds protecting them, and they had the man. Be'er Zechut Miriam, Amud Anan Bezechut Aaron, Aman Bezechut Moshe.
But why is it the woman that Tzniut is focused on?
In this case, it is. I don't know if that's inevitable or maybe I just got. One out of three. I don't. I mean, we
Right.
haven't. The counterexample would be like Devorah, who is the opposite of that, who is Achikamti Devorah, Achikamti Im Yisrael, which the Gemara says that was a problem, that after she says that, she loses the tzniut, she loses the nevuah as well. So it's not one to one. Moshe is the anav, is also the also an example of tzniut in this sense.
Also, it's interesting, the pasuk you quoted about Miriam being tzanua is she goes out with the tof and she leads the women, but teitzena,
yes.
That's not so
okay,
quiet.
The mitzvah here is not to be quiet. It's not to show. It's not to make it a big deal about yourself. She's going to train. She is still the leader. She's still the parnas here.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not making a big deal about her role here, right? And that's the idea that when Miriam dies, is that's when they lose their water. But they didn't know that beforehand. We have lots of stories about the man. We have lots of stories about the Anei Kavod. We have no stories about that they had a be'er that went with them. They just didn't have a lack of water. It was a very tzanua kind of miracle as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was only she dies and then they lose it. They realize what they had there. That's right. The man, the ananim were obvious miracles. The well just was. It was just there. They had water. And that's the way to serve Hashem. It's just with a sot mishpat about chesed, hatznei lechet, nimelokecha. Well, when you're going with Hashem should be modestly. If you're a Navi, don't show it up. If you have a message, you can say it. Don't be the center of attention.
That's such a beautiful pasuk in Micha.
Very pretty.
Yes. So do you, if you were here, that was, what's Rabbi Bienenfeld's son's name? I'm blanking out.
Yaakov Moshe,
yeah. His bar mitzvah parasha was Chukat Balak, and he actually spoke about that. It was very nice. It's Ne'al Lechad Imol Kecha.
Nice.
So that's the meme. That's the goal. No matter how brilliant I am, I'm not going to show up, right? Even though I'm always right, I won't make a big deal about it. Okay, and I will stop here.
Shut up, Danny.
Nice.
Very nice.